Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, our King. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Luke 12. Let us pray as we further hear God's word. Lord, we ever pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. May He open our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we would receive the word with faith and joy and gladness today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a book in my library that's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And in this book, the author, a Bible scholar, lists 70 difficult, hard sayings of Jesus, and he tries to explain them. We all know that when Jesus lives and speaks on this earth, there are some things he says that are quite simple. Other things are difficult. What does he mean? What's he talking about? Explain it, Jesus. In the gospel lesson today from Luke 12 that I just read, this gospel lesson contains three of the hard sayings of Jesus that are in his book. It's full of hard, difficult sayings, you might say. You have a fire coming on the earth. Jesus says he's come to cast fire. He can't wait till it's kindled. What's he talking about? It doesn't sound like Jesus casting fire on the earth. He says he has a baptism to undergo. He's distressed until it's accomplished. What's he talking about? He talks about causing division rather than peace, the division between families. That doesn't sound like peaceful, loving, gentle Jesus dividing families. Well, today I simply want to talk about the fire. That's the hard saying. He says he's come to cast fire on the earth. This starts the text, and how he wishes it were already kindled. What is he talking about? This isn't the baby that lay in a manger. The wonderful Savior that had his arms out and said, "Let the little children come to me." Well, Jesus in these words is, first of all, speaking of his cross. And secondly, he's speaking of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, he's speaking of the final day, the last day, when he will literally cast fire on this earth and burn the whole thing up. And all three are no doubt taught in the words of Jesus. Whenever Jesus speaks, there's often much, much there that we never even get to. It's so deep and wonderful. First of all, when Jesus says he comes to cast fire, we could say he's talking about his cross. He's going to die. And often in the Bible, when Jesus says something difficult, it's a reference to his death. Because his death is the stumbling block. His death is something that we never understand except by the Holy Spirit. It causes people to stumble. So he talks about the cross in a lot of different ways so we ever appreciate the cross. We never take the cross for granted. The cross is wonderful. It's an incredible treasure. Look at it from all these different angles. It's so incredible. Never, ever take it for granted what he did. And thus one example is fire. He's come to cast fire on the earth, and I suggest the first place this fire hits is on himself. He's come to bring fire on himself and take away the fire from you and I. God's wrath, God's anger in the Bible is often described as a raging fire. And God has every right to be mad at us, angry, because we sin and disobey all the time. And God's angry. He's holy and just. He doesn't just look the other way and tolerate it and say, "No big deal, go ahead and do what you want to do." Jeremiah speaks to that. A lot of preachers would tell you that. God just loves you no matter what you do. He loves you. Go ahead and sin. It's wrong. God hates sin. He's angry about it. He's mad. And sometimes even in the Old Testament, he casts a little fire down. Sodom and Gomorrah, a little fire. In the ministry of Elijah, Elijah cast down fire at times and people die. The Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem because of the people's idolatry. That's what Jeremiah is prophesying. And they burned the city. Fire from God. Fire, fire, fire. That's a little bit of fire. The full fire of God, the full wrath of God, the full anger of God all landed on Jesus. "I've come to bring fire. I've come to take the fire of my Father's wrath upon myself so you don't get touched by it." And so when Christ died, he totally, 100% appeased the wrath of God. All the fire of God's wrath was laid on his Son. Not just a little bit, not just a lot of it, but all of it. And so the Father's not mad. The Father's anger is over. It is appeased in the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus quenched the fire of God's wrath.
Now, if you're outside of Christ and you reject Christ, there's fire waiting for you. But in Christ, there's no fire. There's forgiveness and peace. And that's what he's prophesying. He says first he must be baptized with this baptism. What is that? Well, baptizer, baptism means washing. He has to be washed, he's saying. Well, wasn't he already washed in the Jordan River when he was baptized by John the Baptist? What's he talking about, this baptism and washing? He's talking about the shedding of his blood. He's giving us great insight into how he will die. There's going to be lots of blood, he said. Look for a lot of blood, which means sacrifice. And so we think of how he bathed, was baptized in his own blood when he had the crown of thorns on his head, the whip on his back. He sweat blood in the garden. He had blood from his hands and feet and side of the tree. He was a bloody mess. He said, I'm going to be baptized in my own blood. I'm going to be sacrificed. And near the end of that, he'll suffer the fire of hell. And so on Good Friday from 12 to 3, those 3 hours of darkness, he suffered all of hell. All the fire of totally forsaken by his Father. And so it's good news. Very good news. I read where President Andrew Jackson, reading some about presidents of old, he was nearly killed. This is the day before Secret Service. He was walking from the Capitol, and a guy came out point blank, pulled out a gun, and shot at him in a misfire. And no one jumped on the guy immediately, so he pulled out another gun he had and fired again. It misfired too. Point blank. And the experts say this is a 1 in 250,000 chance that two guns would misfire back to back like that. And people today say, it's a miracle. It's a miracle president. He was spared. It's a miracle. The miracle president. Certainly is a miracle. But we are miracle people. God didn't misfire. God fired an arrow with the bullet of his anger. He didn't misfire. He landed on his son. His son pushed us out of the way and said, all okay, give me the fire. Now that would be a real story of miracle story, where a Secret Serviceman or someone in the crowd pushed President away and said, what's up? That would be a real one. And that's what Jesus did. He's talking secondly about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the cross, and then he's also looking forward to the day he will pour out fire at Pentecost. So Jesus dies with Friday, rises with Easter, and he's longing for that day, 50 days after Easter, Pentecost, this last window, when the Holy Spirit comes as wind and as fire. He somehow come to cast fire on the earth, the fire of the Holy Spirit, a good fire now, a warm, loving fire, the light of the Holy Spirit. I've come to pour it on the church. The cross is fire on him, Pentecost is fire of the Holy Spirit on the church. And he's longing for that day. The disciples have boldness. This time they're weak and they don't understand anything. He's longing when the Spirit comes and they have boldness and they have faith. And Peter preaches the gospel and 3,000 are baptized. And he's longing for the day today, for Lutheran, 2016, August 14, when the Holy Spirit is poured out and we hear the gospel. And Pastor Butcher says your sins are forgiven. He longs for that during Luke 12, 2,000 years ago. He longs for us to receive communion where he gives us his body and blood. And here we have the Holy Spirit who forgives sins and strengthens faith. He longs for the proclamation of the gospel, the great fire of his love, to spread to the whole earth and all be saved. We can't wait for that. Get the good news out and spread the gospel. The longing of the fire of the Holy Spirit and the love of God proclaimed. Now, I got my newsletter from Congressman Duncan a week or two ago. He always writes a good newsletter about events in Washington, and I read it. And one thing he noted was that we have way too many laws in our government. I think we all kind of knew that, but I didn't know it was this bad. Did you know we have something called the Code of Federal Regulations? And in this Code of Federal Regulations, there are 178,000 pages. And you think the Ten Commandments are 178,000 pages of laws, 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 laws. And in the U.S. tax code, he notes, there are 74,000 pages to the U.S. tax code. No wonder why we need an accountant or somebody to do our taxes for us. Laws, 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 codes, regulations, more laws and more laws. day when he will return. Already in Luke 12, he's looking forward to his return. That's going to be when he will cast fire on this earth and he will actually burn up the whole world. The final day when he returns, he'll judge the living and the dead. He'll judge all people, whether you have faith or not, sheep and goats. If you believe in or baptize other sheep, don't be afraid. And then he will burn up this entire universe. There'll be fire. But don't be afraid, you're not going to be in that fire. And then he'll create a new heaven and a new earth for us to live on. It's perfect and wonderful. So this is good news too. The last day when he returns. You see, this world is corrupt. It's junk by God's standards. Adam and Eve sinned. We sin. Our bodies are sinful. We are sinners. Animals are corrupt. Plants are corrupt. The whole earth structure is corrupt. It doesn't work like it should. The whole universe is corrupt. It doesn't work like it should. It's all messed up. And so Christ is longing for that day, and he's going to burn the whole thing and give us a new heaven, a new earth, and new bodies that we're going to be in. Like you have an old car, you love this old car, you bought a car, you love it, and your family likes it, and you ride that car, but you fix it, and you fix it, and you fix it, and you fix it, more money, more money, more money, and the car is getting older and older. What do you finally say? Time to get a new car. I love that old car, it's a good car, my family loves it, but I get a new one. Jump that, burn it, get a new one. And that's what he said. He loves this world. He'll always love this world. He's redeemed the world. He's redeemed your life. But this is the word he wants us to live forever. To create a new heaven and new earth. And brand new bodies. And we'll be in glory with no pain and no suffering and no death. I read in my Reader's Digest a new thing called the power breath. You know what the power breath is? It's not bad breath, don't fear. But I've heard of a power walk and power drinks. Power energy bars, whatever they are. Now there's the power breath that's supposed to give you instant peace, instant satisfaction, instant relaxation. You breathe in by a count of four. Don't do this, I don't want you sleeping in church. Breathe in by a count of four, and breathe out by a count of eight. 4 seconds in, 8 seconds out, and you are at peace, you are relaxed, the world is yours. Ah, ah, ah. Maybe for like 3 seconds. We want instant relaxation, it's called death. Or it's called the fight of death. And oh, peace. And oh, the power breath to come when the powerful voice of Jesus will raise all the dead. That's power breath. And give us new bodies, immortal bodies, glorious bodies, and we reign with him in heaven forever. Now that's power breath, the voice of God that goes out even to the church today. No more war, suffering, pain, instant peace. When we die, or when he comes again. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, say it. Thy kingdom come. And come to it. Lessons on fire. The cross, Pentecost, the last day. Pray for you, Jesus, and you cast fire on the earth. Amen. Let's stand, confess our faith. The Nicene Creed. Best faith in our God.